It is time now for Where's Art with Annie Dugan, and I'm going to start off our conversation this morning by asking you a question that I don't even know if you have the answer to, which apparently is really bad interview practice. Good morning.
Good morning. I can say good morning. I aced it. There you have it.
Yay! So here's my question. You mentioned to me that you were going to go see Jonathan Thunder's brand new studio space a little later this week. And, of course, everything I know about the world, I know from either books or television or movies. And in books and television and movies, artists always paint at home because frequently they're tortured. And they paint all night long. And they lock themselves in their studios, and maybe they've got like a little house out behind the house, but otherwise, they've got a studio in their home so that they can be anguished and be painting there, or, you know, make, just whip up gourmet meals at a moment's notice. So if an artist has an external space,
How can they be tortured?
Well, yeah. First of all, I mean, because we have this sense kind of, again, through books and movies and television, that artists want to make art, like, constantly. So do they have, of course, and we see we're speaking for all artists now, would an artist, I mean, do you have, like, a space at home and then maybe, like, a doodle pad in the car in case, you know, inspiration strikes while you're in the car? If I were an artist, I'd need to be prepared to make art, I would think, constantly.
Well, I mean, Lisa, you are an artist. You're a photographer. You have your camera with you a fair amount. I think for artists, they're artists like any professional are going to have just this whole range of how they create and how they connect with that creative spirit. A lot of artists have studio spaces because they are professionals and they're treating it as their job. I mean, you know, they do it partially because they love it, but it is also work, right? You have to go in and do your studio time in order to have that creative space. So I think a lot of artists, the Duluth News Tribune, Krista Lawler did a great series for a while on artist spaces, where she looked at just this wonderful range of how artists create and the spaces that they create in. And, you know, some artists are going to have spaces that are just like, you know, images everywhere and every inch of space is covered with pieces of inspiration. And some artists are going to have a really aesthetic in the sense of, you know, nothing around except the piece that they're working on so that they can maintain focus.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, you're gonna have that range. I do think that they're, you know, that whole tortured artist idea, hopefully we're chipping away at the bits, but then we have, there's a series or a movie that just came out on Netflix called Velvet Buzzsaw. And if you were
I got started on that just a tiny bit, and I wasn't in the right mind space for it.
If you're in for like campy horror, super arch horror, you know, not a lot of blood, but more just like weirdness and just sort of awful people. If you're in the mood to watch awful people, watch Velvet Buzzsaw. Jake Gyllenhaal does a great artist critic of, you know.
He's a scream. I mean, his hair to his voice.
The real world at all of the art world, but it's just delightful because it is so everybody's sort of idea of what the art world is, including this, you know, tortured artist up in his studio creating, you know, out of various nefarious means.
Okay.
So I think, you know, that whole idea is one that, you know, starts in the Renaissance, gets really, you know, actually through movies, the Kirk Douglas movie about Van Gogh, you know, it has meant that all of Van Gogh's madness has eclipsed any kind of looking at his paintings without that sort of mental illness veil over it. And I think that, you know, we to some degree, having the focus be on the mad genius, we do a disservice to artists because, you know, they're professional.
Well, that's definitely a conversation that I would love to have in more depth, because we've kind of touched on it, the idea of mental illness and creativity, and in many instances, the idea of substance abuse plays into that, too, and that if I'm not, you know, chemically altered, I can't create. And so that's a fabulous conversation for a different time. But I just kind of, you know, tried to picture, I guess I had a quick mental picture of Jonathan Thunder, you know, in his lunchbox, you know, getting ready, heading out the door, going to work at the studio.
Right.
And I realize, and I think people that work at home talk about how you do need to have a dedicated space, and you do need to kind of make that I'm going to work now thing. And to work for yourself would require the kind of discipline that I do not possess, not even close. And I so admire people who can do it. So I think, you know, probably any way that you can make that something that, you know, that you do, that's a part of your routine, even if it is just get up and go someplace else and get out of your jammies.
Right.
You know, if I could make radio at my house, I'd never get out of my jammies. And nobody
yeah, right.
needed
people
to know that.
People are going to have different ways that they get inspired. One of the artists, so on Tuesday, the Duluth Art Institute is hosting a discussion with Vern Northrup. And Vern Northrup is an artist who takes his studio with him. So he is a photographer, and he does all his photography on his smartphone. So there are artists who, you know, he's out and about in the world, and so he uses that smartphone as a way to connect with the natural world. And his artwork is very much about the natural world. The title of the show is Akin Homage. The Ojibwe translation is to gain knowledge from the earth. And Vern was a forester for a number of years. He did a lot of fire burns. He's out there, you know, learning from the natural world and having the natural world teach him, and then through these photographs, he's sharing that knowledge. And it's a fabulous exhibition. The space is grouped into seasons. You know, you sort of have, as you walk through the space, you just have this feeling of all of time. It's a wonderful show to see now, because we are reminded that spring will indeed come at some point in our future. And that there will be, you know, thawed water rather than frozen. And it's Tuesday, I believe, at 6 p.m. Yes, Tuesday at 6 p.m., Vern Northrup at the Duluth Art Institute. It's the photographs, there's color, there's vibrancy, there's just this feeling that, you know, it's our world is sort of never stopping, and we're part of it, and we're part of that natural cycle. And it's a wonderful expression of that. Wednesday at the Prove Gallery is the Teen Zine Workshop. So it's at 5 p.m. This is a great space. Prove really is a welcoming, inclusive space that celebrates all of our different ways of expression. And they are extending that to envelop the teens of our communities and our community in a really wonderful way. So they have a zine library that they've developed over the years. It's just this wonderful resource, and they're adding to it with the teen voices. So that is free and open to teens. And then Friday, I am so excited. The Duluth Folk School one piece of their mission is to have fun. And I think this class that they are putting on Friday is the complete encapsulation of that mission. Mrs. Delicious is going to teach a class on adult balloon animal twisting. Balloon twisting for adults, for grown-ups, is the title of the class. And Mrs. Delicious is this just wonderful force in our community. She is a social worker who works with folks and young people who really need her amazing services. And because she does that amazing work, she also wants to spread joy. So in the summertime, she puts on these rainbow tights, sells ice cream, and makes balloon animals and makes joy for people. And she's sharing that with folks on Friday at the Duluth Folk School. So, and you had put a little post up, Lisa, about a new Dr. Seuss book coming out. So I did want to put in a plug for everyone to keep an eye out for this fall. I know Dr. Seuss is no longer with us, but there's been a couple of manuscripts and books that have come out after his passing. What Pet Should I Get was one of them, but this one is going to be called Dr. Seuss's Horse Museum, and it's basically he took a lot of inspiration in the arts, was a artist, you know, certainly in the illustration work that he did, but also in his free time and just make art that he loved and enjoyed, and he was obsessed with modern art. So this is sort of there's an affable horse that tours an art museum and does some teaching about artist Deborah Butterfield and others, but also just, you know, has fun in his regular Dr. Seuss way. So we can all go on a ride on that wonderful book this fall. And that's the week in art, Lisa.
Sounds like a plan, Stan. Thank you so much, Annie, for talking about all the stuff that you know and even talking about stuff that I throw at you from out of left field.
You're thanks, Lisa.
Quite a trooper. Thanks, my dear.
Bye.
Annie Dugan is our host for Where's Art every Monday right here on 103.3 KUMD.